Blog Talk Radio. This is the EWN Radio Network. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and business coach. Join Steve and his guests to get answers to your questions and help break through to the next level in your business.
This is Steve. Welcome to another exciting episode of Thriving Entrepreneur. I'd like you to give a shout out to our sponsor, VTech, the four-line small business phone system. This thing, you've heard me raving about how exciting it is. I can't begin to tell you how much I love messing around with mine. It just has so many fun things that you can do for your small business to take your business to the next level. You know, Kathy and I are all about helping you take your business to the next level, and this phone is an integral part of you having your company sound professional. You can have an auto attendant answer the phone. You can do six-way conference calling. You can have extensions so that people can, you know, press one for the sales department, press two for the marketing department, those kind of things, whatever meets the needs of your company. The VTech four-line small business phone system is the answer to making your company sound professional. And it's expandable so that you can go from being one employee to having literally 10 different phone sets, and then also have multiple extensions in addition to that, and four incoming lines. This is a pretty impressive thing you can do as a small business. I encourage you, check out the VTech small business phone system. We have a fun show for you today. Today we're doing something a little bit different. I'm actually going to recap some of the previous shows and some of the guests that have been on the show previously. So if you just found us recently, maybe you want to know some of the people that were on in times previously, or, you know, hear a little bit more from those guests. So I'm really excited to bring this to you. We're going to kick it off with a good friend of mine and one of our clients. Her name is Nikki Rouse, and she is the sales maven. Nikki is talking to us. She spent the whole hour with us, and she's talking about sales in your company, about actually asking buying signals, and then asking people to do business with you. So listen in as we talk with Nikki about buying signals and selling in your business.
One of the things I talk about a lot is make it easy for people to do business with you. And it's actually so much easier for you to close a sale in that moment or book your next time to talk with this person. So even if it's not appropriate right then, like you're not going to sell anything right then, but it is appropriate to say, you know, hey, what do you think about us scheduling a time to chat about this? Do you have your calendar available? I have mine. Let's get an appointment on our books to talk or to follow up with each other. Because now it's actually easier for them to keep the appointment that's on the books than it is for them to call and cancel. So you made it easier for them to do business with you. Now, if you say, here's my card, call me, now you're making it so much harder. They've got to go through all these steps to get back to this place where they pick up the phone and call you and do business with you.
I think it's so important for us to go into it with a plan. We need to know where we're intending to take every person that we meet. You know, I mean, obviously not everybody is going to be your customer, but you have to have a plan of how to go from A to Z with the person, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you just walk into a networking event and they're going to tell you, here's the things we're going to share in the networking event, and then you don't really have a plan around, what am I going to do?
Exactly. I talk about, you know your outcome. You need to know ahead of time, what is your outcome? Like, are you just showing up to pass out business cards? Are you showing up to, you know, potentially meet a new prospective client? Are you showing up to meet somebody who might have a service or a product that you need? But knowing ahead of time, like, I'm on the lookout here. I'm on the lookout to, you know, set up some appointments to reconnect with people, or I'm I'm looking to invite people to my upcoming event. So how can you have that plan, and how can you make it so easy for the other person? You know, every once in a while, people, I'll meet somebody and they'll say, you know, Nikki, I'd really like to get to know you. You know, I'm wondering if we could just set up a time to chat on the phone. And I'll say, sure, I like to get to know people. Great, let's get to know each other. And they'll say, here's my calendar. You know, go to this link, log on, pick the time, and then, you know, we agree on a time, and I go to their calendar, and the time's not available. And then I'm like, well, now I have to go through how many steps so you can get to know me. So make it easy for your clients. You know, schedule it right then and there. Get it on your calendar, your follow-up to meet with them, or, you know, don't push it back onto your prospective clients. They should not have to be tracking you down, jumping through hoops to work with you.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, I think it segues perfectly into the whole concept of knowing what to do next. I mean, you get a buying signal. So you've listened to everything we've talked about, and you've now become really good at catching when somebody's giving you a buying signal or a potential one. You even heard, you've heard Nikki tell us, look, when somebody does it, just, you know, be graceful enough to just say, hey, how'd you like to do business? You know, and let them say yes or no. So what if they do then say, well, yeah, I'd like to know more. What do we do next?
So, well, one of the things is you might even clarify for them. So I know you said you'd like to know more. What would be the best way for me to get that information to you? Like, ask them, because they'll know the answer. They're going to be able to tell you how they want it, or how what they're interested in. And if they're not sure, then it's a good idea to have some suggestions. You could say, you know, for instance, I have my calendar available. Do you have yours available? We could actually schedule a follow-up call. You know, what's your schedule look like next week? You know, and be there with them in that moment and get it on their schedule. Or you could say, you know, we could schedule a time to work together. Now, the other option is I can get this information out to you. You can take a look at it, but let's still schedule a time. Like, it's going to maybe take 3 days to get to you. So I want to give you a couple days to look at it. So if I send it today, it's going to get to you on Wednesday. Why don't we schedule a time to follow up that following Monday? So you've got to take these steps, because if you just leave it in like la-la land, like maybe we'll get back together, or, you know, look at it and let me know what you think, again, you're making it so hard for them to get back in touch with you. So sometimes, you know, there's some language pieces that I teach. You know, one of them you've heard me say now, you know, let's get this on our schedules. Do you have your calendar available? And then you just wait. Because people say yes or no, or they'll go, you know, I think I'd rather take a look at it some other way. You know, at least they're going to tell you what to do. You know, another thing, too, is should we plan to have that delivered? So should we plan to have that delivered to you next week? If they're giving you a buying signal and you say something like that, now they're going to go, yes, or, oh, gosh, no, I need a little bit more information before I make a buying decision. It's essentially like you're checking in to see, am I on the right track? And if I'm not on the right track, I can switch. I can change directions. It's like I think I'm headed to Portland, and then all of a sudden I realize I've veered off now, and I've gone off track here, so now I need to get back on track and, you know, head to Portland. I don't just go, oh, I veered off track, so I just turn around and go home. I want to stay engaged with that person and find out what do they need in order to make a decision. So sometimes you need to be able to ask questions, you know, who else is involved in the decision-making process? Or what would be useful for you to know to be able to make a decision about this?
And I think it's important to note that most people are savvy enough that, you know, that they're not just going to necessarily make it easy for you. They're not just going to walk up to you, like I said earlier, and say, hey, you've got stuff, I want to buy it from you. You know, they want you to sell them. They actually physically want you to walk them through a process that's easy. I heard a guy one time great sales trainer. He actually said somebody came up with the number one excuse that everybody always uses, how much is it? You know, they use that as a put off for, you know, getting a person off track of their process by saying, oh, well, I'm interested in that. How much is that? And, of course, the typical salesperson will jump immediately to, well, oh, hey, that's X dollars and, you know, you can do it. And he said, no, actually what I tell people to do is I ask them to put a question in there first, and that's, if you want to know how much it is, then obviously you'd like to get one, right? Because price only becomes an issue if it's something you want to buy. It wouldn't matter if it's $1 or $1 million. If you don't want one, it's still too much.
That's so true. I was speaking to a mastermind group a couple weeks ago, and at the end they asked, you know, okay, Nikki, how can we get more from you? Like, how can people work with you? So I was laying out the program for them. And there were five people in the room with me, and three of them were giving me buying signals, like, oh, I want your VIP program. And one woman, she was like, I'm in. And I said, great, let's get your first session scheduled. Let's get it on our calendars. And I hadn't even talked pricing at that point. And she said, oh, okay, and do you take credit cards? And I said, absolutely, I take credit cards. And she went, she got up, went to her purse, got her credit card out, and came back. We were already scheduling our first appointment. I hadn't even given her the price. And so at one point she was like, oh, okay, so now what is it price-wise? And she was already on the schedule. Like, it really didn't matter what the price was. She was convinced that I had something that was going to meet her needs and solve her problems, so she was in. So it wasn't about price. So you're right, though. Sometimes people come back and go, well, how much is it? And you get this indication of like, oh, well, if it's, you know, if it's $5, it's too much. Well, and sometimes it's good to know that too, because why waste your time talking to somebody if they're making a decision just based on if it's $5 more than they plan to spend? I think my coach always says when people ask her for pricing, she says, now I haven't actually heard from you yet whether or not this is something you're interested in. And so then it's kind of back to them to go, actually, I am interested, or no, I'm not interested. Because at that point, there's no need to really give pricing if they're not interested.
And that's where the having a process and having a what's next process is so impactful and so effective, is because then you help the person. You were using a minute ago an example of if you're going to drive to Portland, you know, you get on a certain road and you drive that way. Well, if the person in the passenger seat has never been to Portland, and every exit you come up to, they're like, turn right here. You know, well, what if you did? You know, I mean, who knows where you'd end up, but it sure as heck wouldn't be Portland. You know, it's a pretty straight shot down I-5, you know, but if you get off in some of those exits, you'll end up someplace lost, you know.
So true. Yeah, you need to have a plan, and you need to know. You know, I also teach people how to overcome objections, and but a lot of the times what it comes down to is asking questions. You know, as a salesperson, sometimes we're afraid to ask questions because we think, well, gosh, if I'm asking questions, that means I don't have all the answers. And actually, in truth, the person who asks questions holds the power. Which is why it's really important when you're working with a client that you give them an opportunity to ask you questions too, because there needs to be a balance of, you know, it's a win-win. There needs to be a balance of power in the relationship, so one person doesn't feel like this is inequitable to me. And so from a salesperson perspective, a lot of times we feel fearful of asking questions, when in reality, asking questions puts you in the position of power. So if you don't know the answer, ask. Ask from your client, because they'll tell you if you ask. Mm-hmm. Now, how you say it is going to be important. You know, if people feel like, oh, my gosh, I feel like I'm being interrogated, I'm on the witness stand here with questions, that's not going to go over really well. But if you ask in a kind, interested, really curious way, how you phrase your question and what you do with your voice and even with your body language, they'll give you the information you need. So now we made it to Portland, right? So we're on track. We can get there.
Absolutely. We have to have that path, and so then we get there, and then it works. I hope you've enjoyed listening to Nikki as she talks to us about buying signals and, most importantly, having a plan what you're going to do when you are approaching a customer and asking them to do business with you. You can check out Nikki and get further information from her by going to thesalesmaven.com, and you can hear her whole episode at wehelpyouthrive.com/radio. Check out all of our shows there. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. My theme for the year is Say Yes to Success. And guess what? Our annual International Conference and Business Expo that's coming up August 6th through the 9th, we're going to have not only a wonderful lineup of speakers and thought leaders like CNN's Soledad O'Brien or Matthew Knowles, the famous father of the famous Beyonce, and Jean Smart from Designing Women, but this year you are going to be part of the experience. This is one of, if not the only conference that will balance your experience between learning from the wisdom of great speakers to hands-on living it through laser coaching, journaling, and interacting and sharing with other conference attendees. Oh yeah, and we have the best party in town on Saturday night, dancing till you drop to one of the best bands in Dallas. Visit eWomenNetwork.com for details and how you can be part of this life-changing experience as you embrace your yes to success.
Beautiful job, eWomen!
Are you ready to be a celebrity expert in your field? Are you your own best-kept secret? Do you have talents you want to share with the world? Are you ready to be seen as an authority? Do you have a message you need to share with the world? You know to your core you can help people if you could just reach them. Kathy and I want to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. Are you ready for this? How would you like to be recognized on top media outlets? What would becoming an Amazon bestseller do for your business? How many people could you inspire? And it doesn't take a lifetime. It doesn't take years. It doesn't take months. In fact, in just 60 minutes, you will become a celebrity expert in your field. In 30 days, you will be a best-selling author, and you will be seen on NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, Fox, and the Wall Street Journal. How does this work? Will you be interviewed on our show, Thriving Entrepreneur, which will then be broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and many others, as well as promoted to a network that has a database of over 500,000 people. Your expert interview will be published in your very own book, which is guaranteed to hit best-selling author status on Amazon. Your name and the book title will appear in major media outlets, including ABC, NBC, Fox, CNN. We can guarantee that. Plus, as a bonus, you'll get a custom social media package to promote your book and an MP3 of your interview with 5 key tips on how you can repurpose the content for marketing and sales. Don't be the best kept secret. Get ready to play an A game and be the authority in your field. Go to wehelpyouthrive.com and click on the authority package to get yours today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve, and I hope you're enjoying our recaps as we listen in on some of the previous episodes here of Thriving Entrepreneur and bring you back just a little bit of tidbits about how you can plan your life and live your life better to be a thriving entrepreneur. Next up, we have a good friend, Taryn Perry. Taryn and I sat down. We talked about food and how much of an impact the food we eat has on our life. So we want to continue into that conversation, let you hear a little bit of that as Taryn talks with us about getting our mind wrapped around really good nutrition to make us good business people. Listen in. Is the food you're eating holding you back from success in your life, from success in your business? We were talking just before the break about the, the scam that is quote-unquote fast food, and the new one now is, you know, healthy, nutritious options that you can get at restaurants, and how really we're being more sold on things that are fast and easy for us rather than we're actually getting food that's good for us. So let's jump right back into that here, and let's talk about some of those kind of things. Let me ask you the question. Have you actually found a restaurant that a person can go to that isn't, you know, an hour or two commitment in your life that, you know, that serves healthy, nutritious food?
Is, actually. I mean, most any reputable restaurant, as long as it's not one of those, you know, kind of small, hole-in-the-wall, quick turn-and-burn restaurants, which I think we all probably know what those are, you know, if they are a reputable restaurant and they're generally locally owned, and there's a lot of them here in Seattle, I mean, I think that's one of the really great benefits we have being here in the Pacific Northwest, especially, if, you know, me being in Seattle, there's a great number of restaurants that do serve, and actually their food is legitimately healthy. They do have options on the menu that are not, but we as a consumer need to take responsibility of our choices. And, you know, I work with a lot of clients, in fact, that travel for a living. They travel for their careers. And that's a really hot topic because some of them do entertain and they have to be out of these restaurants. And that's just the nature of their business. And so that's something we have to embrace if that's our lifestyle. And the fact that we are we're social human beings. You know, our society is driven around food and beverages in a social setting. So if we are living in that life and do like to go out and eat and do like to go to parties, you know, we have to be responsible for the decisions we make, and we have to ask questions. You know, we'll never know truly what it means on the menu when it says chicken and vegetables or, you know, this is our Pacific Northwest favorite vegan, you know, blah, blah, blah questions, because it's amazing. And it all comes back to marketing. It's amazing the words that these people, you know, the owners of the restaurant or even just the big box retailers, you know, these huge companies that own a lot of our food sources, what they can say to make us think that this choice is healthy. And that goes with a lot of items in the grocery store that we typically see that are on the end caps and, you know, in flashing lights and healthy this and organic that and, you know, that kind of stuff. But when it comes to a sit-down restaurant, you know, when you can ask questions and your server is knowledgeable, which, you know, it's hit or miss, especially if they're new, they might not know all the information, but we have to ask the questions. You know, especially if it's a dish that looks relatively healthy, I've always, myself personally, I have no problem with it, and it took a little bit of time and a couple times doing it. I ask questions. You know, what's your chicken grilled in, or what's it sauteed in, especially with vegetables? You know, they might say steamed vegetables, but what they dismiss is that they're generally loaded with butter or oil, or they're seasoned with a lot of salt. And so there's a high amount of sodium in every meal that's put on the table, unless you ask otherwise. Because again, these reputable restaurants, they generally make it, they cook it to order. So you have that flexibility to actually ask and request certain things. So it's not that hard to find that. And it often takes a little bit of research to source that, especially if you're going to a restaurant that you're not familiar with, or maybe is in a market that you don't frequent often. And this is more for those that travel for a living, for instance. You know, they go down to Southern California, or they go into, you know, the Midwest or somewhere that is outside of their comfort zone, they don't necessarily know what they're walking into. But most restaurants do share their information online. So I always encourage my clients to do travel or even just do enjoy going out to dinner. You know, they'll ask me, hey, Taryn, what are your favorite restaurants to go to in Seattle? Well, you know, now almost being a family of four, our meals out are limited. We have a little local restaurant called Serendipity in our neighborhood, and they know me by now, and I have a couple custom meals that they know that I will order often because I know what's in them, I know how they're made, and it's healthy. And I don't feel like I went out to dinner and totally threw my lifestyle food choices by the wayside. So, you know, we have to take ownership, and we have to be the ones to research and ask the questions. That's what it comes down to.
Oh, you know, it's so amazing to me just how tough good nutrition really is. I was talking with my mom the other day about it, and Mom, you're probably listening or will be at some point, so hi. haven't ever done that before, but I know she listens.
Yes,
you know,
hi,
she was saying, you know, we were talking, she's like, well, you know, I did a really good job as a mom, didn't I? I didn't really treat you. And I had to explain to her, it's like, no, Mom, it wasn't anything about what you did. You know, we were very, very poor growing up. And my mom did an amazing job of putting food on the table when, quite frankly, looking back, I don't know how she did it. You know, I mean, if you told me she had a magic wand and created something out of nothing, I would believe it, you know. But in doing that,
right,
there are extreme limits in what we learned how to eat. What we learned how to eat was you eat what's set before you. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's healthy or it is the worst food you could put in your body. You need to be grateful that you got food today. You know, and you know, like you said, to her credit, she did a great job of feeding us three meals a day every day, regardless of what the pantry looked like. But I didn't grow up learning anything about nutrition, and I've realized just how tough good nutrition really is. So what is good nutrition? I mean, what should we be eating?
Well, you bring up a really good point, especially when it comes to family dynamics and the learned behavior, because it is such a learned behavior growing up. And, you know, a shout out to my mom as well, as I know she'll be tuning in as well. So both of our moms might be high-fiving each other, knowing job well done. But, you know, they did the best that they knew how. And, you know, they put food on the table, and that was most important, is I've got to put nourishment on the table for my family. And that's such a priority for parents. And of course, no parent is really putting food on the table knowing that it's going to be, you know, a bad decision for their children. You know, like, I'm going to put this toxic fake food on my table for my kids because I know it's not going to be good for them. You know, a parent in their right mind does not think like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is really challenging to know what to put on the table. And it does become a learned behavior. You know, my nutrition practices evolved from what I knew growing up as a kid, but we didn't necessarily sit down and have a conversation about what we were eating and why. And I feel like I do that now, and more and more families are doing that as a kind of a dinner conversation. And I don't know if it's because I'm in the industry and I'm in the thick of it, but I think we have to backpedal now. We're all backpedaling and trying to unravel everything that has built up and been compounded to where we're at today and how overweight we are, how unhealthy we are, how sick we are, because, you know, and not wanting to go down this road too deep, but because of what the information is fed to us. You know, the information that we see on the shelves in our grocery store, our trusted grocery stores, on the commercials in the television, you know, what the government wants us to think is healthy, right? And, you know, those things that are put in front of us on a regular basis, if we aren't conditioned to actually stop and think for ourselves for a minute, then we wouldn't know otherwise. So we are now having to unravel a little bit of that. And so educating our kids is so critical right now, because I think that they need to know why they're eating the food that they are. You know, and I trusted my parents when they put food on the table, and we always did have a good meal. You know, we didn't eat a lot of fried foods.
we didn't eat out a lot. You know, we would have pizza like every Friday, and we had treat night on the weekend. And, you know, those are behaviors that I still like to have within our family dynamics, which I think is really, really important. And people don't believe. It's probably the one question I get a lot, Steve, is, do you guys eat pizza or ice cream, or do you drink wine or chocolate? I mean, you know, those are really real questions I get. And the message has to be, you have to create a lifestyle around this. And once you become aware of your food choices and become educated yourself, because our children are so impressionable right now. My oldest is 9, and she is smart as a whip. And I realized at a very, very young age that she modeled and really started to grab on to everything that I was doing. You know, she would see me work out. She would see the food that I put in front of her and that I would eat myself. You know, back then, I would make for my husband and I, when she was the only child, a beautiful plate of salmon and asparagus. Then she would have these disgusting wieners out of a jar, a Gruber jar. Mm. I'm sure some of the moms can probably shake their head. But that's what I fed her, because I didn't really know any better, because I didn't take the time to educate myself. And so that's really our responsibility as a parent, is to know and have the knowledge behind the food we put in front of our children, because it is such a learned behavior right now. You know, you see a lot of these older children that are having to go on food programs and these concentrated regimens because they are overweight, and it's because they don't know any different, and their parents maybe didn't know any different. But now we have the opportunity to be more aware of it. And, you know, again, I anytime I get an opportunity to share my message and share how important it is to just think about the little things. And that's really what I stress the most, is just to think, slow down and actually think and be mindful of the decisions that we make in anything. If it's working out, if it's being at the grocery store, if it's something we say, you know, think about it before we say it, of course. You know, I think our parents probably said that a time or two to us. But be more mindful. And then you start to become more aware. You become aware of the food, that how it makes affects your body, how it affects your sleep habits, your children's behavior. I mean, even just watching your kids behave after they eat something super nutritious and nutrient dense. And then if you go and maybe go out to eat and have a hamburger and french fries and polish it off with an ice cream sundae, you can immediately tell the difference. So it's fascinating if you actually are mindful and aware of how that affects them and us.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Kathy and I were talking the other day about the misnomer that we taught our children, because we didn't know any better, you know, and our youngest is now 16, of the concept of what we used to call kid food. Mom and dad would go out on date day. We'd go out and have something that, you know, we couldn't have during the regular week. And the kids would have kid foods, you know, chicken nuggets and fries. You know, I mean, they'd make them from home, you know, or homemade pizzas or those kind of things, or macaroni and cheese, you know. The list goes on of all kinds of deliciously sounding food that is not good for you, folks. I'm just telling you. So I want to take a little bit of a turn here after we do this break and talk a little bit about how that affects our lives. But I did, you know, I do really want to challenge people that we should think about those labels we put on food, especially to our children. You know, what is kid food? Is this food that's, you know, things that kids are allowed to eat, but as adults we're not, you know, and why is that? It was such a fun conversation that Taryn and I had, talking about the belief systems that we have around food and how much impact it actually has on our lives as business people. So important that we fuel ourselves right so that we can have the greatest impact in the world. I encourage you to check out at wehelpyouthrive.com/radio, Taryn's whole episode, and see more about how you can help yourself by allowing the food that you eat to help you. And check out Taryn at choosetobefit.com. That's the number 2, so it's choosetobefit.com. We're going to take another break, and then we'll be right back.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
I want to talk to you about my good friends VTech and their four-line small business phone system. This thing is so amazing. You've heard me rant about it a little bit, and I just cannot go on enough about how impactful this particular piece of equipment can be to your business. Now, maybe you're not a tiny business. Maybe you've been in business for a while, and you just need something that is really going to provide to you and your customers the best phone experience possible. Well, the VTech 4-line phone system is perfect for that too. Again, it has four incoming lines, each of which can have its own separate auto attendant. That means that it can answer differently. So that phone can be answered, "Hello, thank you for calling. We appreciate you reaching out for customer service." And another line could be answered, "This is the business line for," you know, and so you can have different feels for the different calls that come in. You could even have one that's more casual if you wanted. It really doesn't matter the size of your business. This phone can really impact the outcome of it. And again, as I've told you before, you can go up to 10 handsets as easily as walking over to the wall and plugging in an electrical plug. If you can do that, boom, you've gone from one phone to two or from 6 to 8 just as quickly as just plugging it in. I can't say enough great about the VTech 4-line small business phone system. I encourage you, check it out today.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. My theme for the year is say yes to success. And guess what? Our annual International Conference and Business Expo that's coming up August 6th through the 9th, we're going to have not only a wonderful lineup of speakers and thought leaders like CNN's Soledad O'Brien or Matthew Knowles, the famous father of the famous Beyonce, and Jean Smart from Designing Women, but this year you are going to be part of the experience. This is one of, if not the only conference that will balance your experience between learning from the wisdom of great speakers to hands-on living it through laser coaching, journaling, and interacting and sharing with other conference attendees. Oh yeah, and we have the best party in town on Saturday night, dancing till you drop to one of the best bands in Dallas. Visit eWomenNetwork.com for details and how you can be part of this life-changing experience as you embrace your yes to success.
Beautiful job, eWomen!
Are you ready to be a celebrity expert in your field? Are you your own best-kept secret? Do you have talents you want to share with the world? Are you ready to be seen as an authority? Do you have a message you need to share with the world? You know to your core you can help people if you could just reach them. Kathy and I want to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. Are you ready for this? How would you like to be recognized on top media outlets? What would becoming an Amazon bestseller do for your business? How many people could you inspire? And it doesn't take a lifetime. It doesn't take years. It doesn't take months. In fact, in just 60 minutes, you will become a celebrity expert in your field. In 30 days, you will be a best-selling author, and you will be seen on NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, Fox, and the Wall Street Journal. How does this work? Will you be interviewed on our show, Thriving Entrepreneur, which will then be broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and many others, as well as promoted to a network that has a database of over 500,000 people. Your expert interview will be published in your very own book, which is guaranteed to hit best-selling author status on Amazon. Your name and the book title will appear in major media outlets, including ABC, NBC, Fox, CNN. We can guarantee that. Plus, as a bonus, you'll get a custom social media package to promote your book and an MP3 of your interview with 5 key tips on how you can repurpose the content for marketing and sales. Don't be the best kept secret. Get ready to play an A game and be the authority in your field. Go to wehelpyouthrive.com and click on the authority package to get yours today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. You are listening to Thriving Entrepreneur. You know, I just want to take a second out to thank each and every one of you for any and all of the episodes that you've listened to. I love bringing Thriving Entrepreneur to you, and I hope that you enjoy it even just a tiny bit as much as I enjoy sitting with the guests and knowing that they are bringing impactful information into your lives. It's like I've told many people, this show is like my guilty pleasure. It's literally something that I do for business that I love to do so much that I have to remind myself that it's actually part of our company. So now we're going to jump back into listening to some of our previous guests with the actually very first guest I ever had on Thriving Entrepreneur, Jenna Sword. Jenna was talking to us in that episode about our brand and about branding ourselves in an effective way that allows people to really truly know what we do and to establish a niche of people that we're going to serve. Listen in. I know you'll like this one. Need to focus your brand and how important it is to really know your target market. As Jenna said, you know, niche makes rich. And so often we tend to, you know, to go really broad. We don't want to leave anybody out. But the truth of the matter is that if we can get focused on a specific part, we can actually then grow bigger. It's not like, you know, we're chopping off the whole world because we get focused. But until we get focused, I think I've found, and you probably would agree, Jenna, that all too often I think that people tend to never really get going because they don't have any focus with their start. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the process can be overwhelming for a lot of people because they have a scarcity mindset that they're worried if they get too specific. There's a couple of fears that come from it. One, that they're going to not really want to work with that group of people forever, and if they set their business up that way, that they could be shooting themselves in the foot. But also that this scarcity thing of you know, I see this happen with photographers all the time. Photographers they'll do weddings and baby shots or like a labor, you know, any of those things where they'll do like senior portraits and, you know, pregnant women, babies and weddings. And so while all of that sounds great because they want to have more opportunity to make more money, if you look at the most famous photographers in the world, they always specialize. You know, Ann Getty's only focused on babies, and Ansel Adams only focused on landscapes. And, you know, photography is like a really good example of that thing. And it doesn't mean that they won't get business, you know, or requests for business for doing those other things. But instead, those examples, or even what was the other, Annie Leibovitz does those famous portraits of people. So they become known for these things and they became experts at these particular topics. And if they would have tried to do everything, they never would have been an expert in anything. They probably would have just been an all-around, you know, good photographer, but not as famous as they became. And so so kind of wrapping your head around this idea of how do you become the go-to person for a particular thing means that you can't really be broad. You have to kind of be specific.
I like that. How do you be the go-to person for a specific thing? That's good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you even think about it with assistants, would you rather hire somebody off Craigslist that's a pretty good assistant in every area? Or if you have Infusionsoft or some mail marketing program, would you want to hire the expert in that program? And it's like when you look at the prices that you're going to pay for something, you know, having to train an assistant on how to do a technology, or just go hire the person who is a whiz at that is sort of the idea here.
Oh, yeah. Well, we always talk to our clients about the fact that everything is a balance between time versus money. I mean, sure, mm-hmm. you can take a bunch of classes and learn how to build your website yourself, or how to build your own brand, or how to run Infusionsoft, like you said. But a lot of times, the amount of time we spend doing that, I was teasing actually the other day in a conversation that a person could get a job at McDonald's and actually earn more money than what they're paying themselves to, build their own website, or, virtual version of building your own sports car,
Well, but the thing that's interesting about this is that my program actually allows people to go through that process and really have success with it. And I think, there is something to be said about the whole reason why I developed my program was from dealing with difficult clients that could not communicate to me what they wanted. They could not communicate in a verbal way of what they really wanted for their brand. So my idea was, well, how do we take them through a process where they figure out what they want in a visual way? Like, they put together mood boards, and the mood boards, they're putting their stamp of approval of anything that they're putting on this mood board that they love. And so from that mood board, they themselves could design from it, or they themselves could give it off to a designer, and it helps bridge that gap between verbal communication and visual communication. And so that's kind of the thing that's being solved here, is that with something like a proprietary process that I have of helping people who've never designed before learn how to do that. That's the only time I recommend DIY, because otherwise, you're totally right. If they're DIYing without that sort of structure, they are totally taking a shot in the dark about, how are they going to learn 100,000 hours of what's going to be, good, unless they have a guided process to take them through it. So it's funny how opposed to DIY I am, unless it's in a guided format.
I agree. I mean, I think that one of the primary things people need to understand is how powerful coaching and mentoring and guided programs can really be in taking their business up a notch, to getting something out of the proverbial nothing, if you will, that it feels like sometimes in business.
Well, there's a new phrase that's emerging right now, and it's DWY, which is design with you.
I like that.
Yeah. So that's kind of the difference, is how do you get the support that you need? And that can come in the form of coaches or, but the second part of this is getting empowered to learn some of these things can really help with saving money, because, designers charge a lot of money for very simple things. Like, I just met with a client yesterday who has a JPEG for a logo. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm sure you do, but a JPEG doesn't really work well for a logo because it can't be sized easily. She wants to do t-shirts and she can't because her logo is made out of pixels instead of out of a vector based thing, which is it's the design of based on a mathematical equation versus little dots essentially. And this designer was going to charge her $300 to take a super, super simple, JPEG and do a vector-based thing that could be screen printed or could be resized for size signs or, And I was in my program, you would learn how to do an auto trace, and it would take you 15 seconds, and you wouldn't even have to rely on a designer.
It was such a fun episode with Jenna. We had a lot of fun talking about design elements and her background, and especially branding. Branding ourselves, all of those things having to do with our brand is one of the things that a lot of entrepreneurs spend a lot of time struggling with. They fight against that thing we were talking about with Jenna about developing a niche for themselves so that they can specifically help a specific group of people. It can be tough on all of us, and I know a lot of entrepreneurs that spend time struggling with trying to be able to narrow their brand. You can check out more of that episode again at wehelpyouthrive.com/radio, and you can find out more about Jenna by going to youcanbrand.com. We're going to take one last break here, and then we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. My theme for the year is say yes to success. And guess what? Our annual International Conference and Business Expo that's coming up August 6th through the 9th, we're going to have not only a wonderful lineup of speakers and thought leaders like CNN's Soledad O'Brien or Matthew Knowles, the famous father of the famous Beyonce, and Jean Smart from Designing Women, but this year you are going to be part of the experience. This is one of, if not the only conference that will balance your experience between learning from the wisdom of great speakers to hands-on living it through laser coaching, journaling, and interacting and sharing with other conference attendees. Oh yeah, and we have the best party in town on Saturday night, dancing till you drop to one of the best bands in Dallas. Visit eWomenNetwork.com for details and how you can be part of this life-changing experience as you embrace your yes to success.
Beautiful job, eWomen!
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve, and you are listening to Thriving Entrepreneur. We've been doing a recap of the different episodes that we have played. Not all of them, but just a taste of a couple of the different shows that we have played over the course of the last, what's it been, like 7 or 8 months now since we started Thriving Entrepreneur. And I really appreciate you all taking the time for each and every episode that you have listened to. And I encourage you that you will listen to more of them and hear the insightful, brilliant information that my special guests bring to you to invest into their lives. You've heard us talk a little bit throughout the course of the commercials about the authority package that Kathy and I have. And, you know, I want to take a minute to speak to you live about our authority package. And the reason why I do that is because in the last episode, we always want to leave you with something that you can tangibly do today. And when we talked about taking good care of yourself physically and branding yourself into a niche and all the kind of things that come into selling and getting buying signals, we need to understand right up front that the number one piece of that is to be out there in the world and to not be the best kept secret in your industry. Kathy and I want to help you learn what you should say when you're being interviewed, get an opportunity to be able to say it, and then tell the world that you said it and have that be on national media, on radio, on ABC, NBC, CBS. Learn how to be a talk show. Learn how to be a video show guest. We want to help you thrive because we believe that you are really, truly a gem that needs to be shared with the world. So I'm going to encourage you a couple of things. A, believe in yourself. B, be willing and bold enough to narrow yourself down to a specific niche. And then begin to also make sure that what you're fueling yourself with, what you put into yourself is what's going to come out. Take good care of yourself. And then, of course, always be willing to ask a person to do business with you and listen to what they're saying. If we learn how to communicate, we learn how to listen to the people that we're talking to, we will find that all of the relationships that we have in life will actually end up better. So I really encourage you to take those things. You can, again, find out more about Jenna at youcanbrand.com. You can find out more about Taryn at choose2befit.com. choose2befit.com. And you can find out more about Nikki and helping help with buying signals at thesalesmaven.com. She will help you out with a lot of those kind of things. I want to encourage you. I want you to know more than anything that you are uniquely brilliant. You were created for a purpose. I want you to know that the world does need you, and Kathy and I are here to help you to no longer be the best kept secret in your industry. We help you thrive.com. That's what we're here for. I am so delighted to have you with us. Kathy and I are this week at the eWomen Conference, and we hope to be able to run into a bunch of you while we're there. But if you're listening to it some other time, we would love to hear from you. You can always drop us a line at our website, wehelpyouthrive.com. Next week, we're going to have a really, really fun conversation with our good friend Jessica Butts. Jessica's been on the show before, and her new book just came out. The new book is called Living Your Life from the Front Seat. Jessica's going to talk to us specifically about how we can really bring our best self into situations rather than allowing the parts of our personality that aren't the best us to control and run the conversation. So I really hope that next week you will check that out. And remember that we are here for you anytime because we help you thrive. Until then, go out and live your life as a thriving entrepreneur today. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur Today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
Are you ready to be a celebrity expert in your field? Are you your own best kept secret? Do you have